Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you for tuning in to the Sports Ethos Nets podcast. As always, your host, Cody Mallory. You can find me on Twitter at RealCodyMallory. Tonight, I am joined by my two co-hosts, Joe Farrow on Twitter. That is at the Joe Farrow. And Anthony, guys, it's been a while since we talked, holidays and everything. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. The Nets are playing Nets basketball every other day. I have a different opinion on the team, whether it's to break it apart or winning the finals. So,
yeah, I don't think you're alone with that, Anthony, truthfully. And I don't think it's just us three. I think it's pretty much every Nets fan in the world probably feels the same way.
Yeah, it's very frustrating.
I know for sure that I feel that way. It's like even when the Nets are winning, it feels at times like they're just like unwatchable. Like they're not a fun team to watch still. So it's like, we have no idea still up to this point. Like now I believe we're like officially a quarter of the way into the season and we're sitting at 500.
They're 500 for the first time since like October 21st or something, the second game of the season.
Yeah. They were 1-1. That was the last
time. 1-1. Yeah. This is the first time we're 500. So.
And they've had several chances to get there against pretty shit teams with like serious injuries. And, I mean, obviously, since the last time we spoke, they played Philly, which was not Philly. It was like their – I wouldn't even say it was their B team. It was like their C or D team. Like, they were missing Embiid, they were missing Harden, they were missing Maxey. Yeah. And obviously, they lost.
Yeah, because Korkmaz turned into Michael Jordan for the night. So
Tobias Harris was alphaing Joe Harris.
True. Yeah, Tobias Harris. I mean, yeah. It's the NBA, like. There's players that can go off no matter if they're a starter, if they're a bench guy. Like, they're all good basketball players if they're open and they get enough chances, aka offensive rebounds, that they're going to knock down shots.
Yeah, honestly, like, just looking at how the Nets, like, season has gone so far, I feel like it's like we had like four different attempts, if I'm not wrong, maybe it's three, where we had to get back to 500. We just couldn't do it. And, like, I feel like the Nets, honestly, have had such good injury luck for not only themselves, but, like, teams that they're playing. Like, in past years, I feel like everyone always comes back against the Nets. This year, like, we got Memphis without Jackson, Morant, and Bain, and even more players, but, like, their big three. We had Philly without their big three, and Harden, Maxey, and Embiid. We had the Lakers without LeBron. We had the Clippers without Kawhi, but that's, like, a different story because Kawhi doesn't play. But, like, I feel like every time we play someone, it's, like, they're depleted at least a couple guys, and it's, like, we can't take advantage. Like, the Nets should definitely be a few games over 500. Like, they definitely squandered 3 to 4 games. They should have won.
100%. Anthony, by the way, that Memphis game you're mentioning with no Ja, did you hear that the Barclays Center sold out because Ja Morant was sitting on the bench?
Dude, I saw that tweet. That got me so I don't know if that was satire or not, but
– no, he was being 100% serious, 100%.
I did not see that one.
That was from Nets Daily. Obviously, that was the game that Kyrie Irving.
Oh, they're blocked. That's why. That's
it was like, I think it was like the Nets' highest attendance ever, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't get how that's possible, considering like they can sell out. They've sold out multiple games. I don't get it. Just in general, for arenas, like, I don't get, like, if you sell out, like, how isn't it not just consistent with like?
I think they can like open in people for standing rooms.
Yeah, they could open
standing room only
and stuff like that.
I was it not Kyrie's game back after COVID or like one of the Bucks or Celtics series games? Because like the Kyrie COVID one is more anticipated, I feel like, because that was like over the majority of the season. Like, he didn't come back to like March. This was
we went to that game. I forgot about that.
Yeah, but this is like a 2 to 3 week thing where that was like a whole season thing. So I'm kind of shocked to hear that. Unless they, like you said, like opened up more standing room this year compared to last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, it's a little off topic, but yeah. I mean, we're not going to recap every game because, like we said, we were all busy with the holidays and shit, so we haven't talked in a little over a week. But, I mean, what? We missed the Philly game, the Raptors game, the Pacers, the Blazers, and the Magic since we've last spoken. So the Nets were 1-1, 1-2. So they're 4-2 over those games, right? Am I reading that right?
3-2, I think.
3-2.
The Grizzlies. Yeah, so they're 3-2. I mean, it's been inferior opponents for sure. Like Toronto was injured. I mean, the Pacers have a squad. I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah. Everyone about the Pacers blowing it up and tanking. Like, Halliburton's a stud. Mathurin's a stud. Like, they have a Buddy Hield playing well. Like, they have a good team. They're not like the Pacers of last year. Halliburton, I saw a stat today. I think it was like he's had 40 assists with zero turnovers over the last amount of games he's played, which is insane. But like, the Pacers are no scrubs. The Blazers didn't have Dame. The Magic are an inferior team to begin with, and then they didn't have a ton of players. So like, to only be 3-2 over those games kind of seems like a missed opportunity. You guys agree with that?
For sure.
100%.
And I mean, it stays, I don't want to say it stays easy, but like, they got the Wizards, then they got the Raptors, the Celtics, and then they got the Hornets, the Hawks, the Pacers, the Wizards. So I mean, like, they're not playing like the top tier teams. Obviously the Celtics are arguably the best team in the NBA again, without Ime Udoka, I would like to add. So maybe his hype was overblown a little bit, but I don't know. It just seems like there's no consistency with this group. I'm not talking game to game. I'm not even talking quarter to quarter. You could literally go like minute by minute with the inconsistency. And this team, like, my thought on them is they just make dumb basketball plays. And a prime example, it's like middle school shit. Like last game when Royce O'Neal got called for the 8-second violation because he was just standing there dribbling the ball in the backcourt. And it was like KD freaked out on him. Or I don't know, like, I hate how Claxton hangs on the rim every single time he dunks the ball and doesn't get back on defense. KD yelled at him a couple games ago. I don't remember what game it was. But it's like, those are just dumb things that they do. Or the amount of offensive rebounds they give up is because they're not boxing out. Like, it's not that they're incredibly oversized when they have three guys out there that are 6'10 or taller. It's just they're all standing there. The guards don't rebound. There's long rebounds, and they just don't rebound the ball. I don't know. It seems like they just play stupid basketball.
They do at times. I don't think that's really up for debate. They always find a way to fuck something up, and it's always something different too, which is the worst part. It's like as soon as you see them start doing something better, something gets worse in the process. Like,
yeah,
offensive rebounding gets better, then you can't rebound defensively. The defensive rebounounding, you start you know, Nick Claxton has a career high already, 8 double doubles on the season. But even with him, it's like he's either getting a double double or he's getting like 4 rebounds.
Or like, Joe, it's not even like, sorry to interrupt you, but it's like, oh, they finally clear up the defensive boards, they don't give a ton of rebounds, and then they turn the ball over 9 times in one quarter.
Exactly. It's all little shit like that. Like they've got to start cleaning it up. And it's like, I think as of recent, especially with how Ben has been playing, and he's been like much improved, obviously, outside of these last two games where he ended up getting hurt. But I think when Ben has been playing more and actually being aggressive with the ball, like, I feel like the lineups with Clax and Ben on the floor at the same time have looked much better than when Ben was just hesitant to shoot the ball. And then Nick Claxton is also like a zero on offense if he's not dunking the ball. So it's like,
yeah,
it's like now that Ben is being more aggressive, that has cleared up the lanes a little bit, and like it's actually giving people more room to work. But it's like the Nets just, they play clunky basketball, it seems. It really does. They really do.
Yeah. And real quick, before we go on like a long rant, it's over these 5 games since we last spoke, let's very quickly run through the injury report. Do one of you guys want to take it?
I don't mind if you want me to do
it. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, so I guess I'll go to the biggest one of them all. Ben Simmons obviously left yesterday's game right before halftime.
Well, that's Yuta Watanabe is the big one, okay?
Whoa, I could argue that TJ Warren's the big one.
We don't know yet. Y'all want us to do it?
No, go ahead.
So yeah, Ben Simmons, left knee soreness, I believe. I'm not sure if it's left or right, but he has general knee soreness. It's has been reoccurring injury all year. He missed 3 games last time he had it, so he's already been ruled out for tomorrow's game against, I think tomorrow we play Toronto.
Washington.
Toronto. So
it's Washington.
Sorry. So Washington, Toronto's Friday. So he's out for that game. I expect to be out a few games.
Yeah, and real quick, with the Ben Simmons things, Jacque Vaughn said after the game yesterday that he thinks it's like a amount of minutes thing that Ben's playing. I think he's played six straight games with 30-plus minutes, and Jacque Vaughn believes that is why the knee soreness returned. So when Ben does come back, look for the Nets to maybe not play him in back-to-back since the knee soreness happened in the back end of a back-to-back. Just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to monitor his minutes, which kind of sucks because he's finally starting to play well. That's it for him. TJ Warren is making his debut as a Brooklyn Net. He hasn't played in almost 2 years, since December of 2020. Really hasn't played consistent basketball since the bubble. So he'll be playing likely against the Raptors on Friday. Yuta Watanabe should be available Friday as well, according to Jacque Vaughn. Those two are both looking to suit up for that game. Obviously, things will come up in the next few days, but it's looking like they're on track for that. So keep an eye out for that as well. David Duke has been out the last few games. Not that he's a crazy rotation piece, but he's been out with like a non-COVID illness. I think he's questionable for tomorrow. So we'll see if he comes back or not. Even if he does, he might not even play. But Seth Curry also played his first back-to-back of the year. So that's big. And he's looked pretty good the last few games. So that's pretty big for the Nets. And it's not an injury, but on December 15th, Sean Marks should better be on the line for a backup center, please. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's been calling for that, and they're not even like, if they're without Ben, I mean, Markieff Morris is gonna have to play more because there's no one to really play for Claxton unless they go back to Dayron, which I don't think anyone wants to see that again.
He should not play minutes. He shouldn't even be on this roster, to be completely honest. He's just a body for like blowouts.
Turn holiday travel from stressful to rewarding. Rakuten helps you save big on travel. They give you cash back when you book with sites like Expedia, Best Western, and Hertz. Even better, you can stack cash back on top of other rewards like airline miles, credit card points, and hotel loyalty programs. Rakuten partners with over 3,700 stores, including Away Luggage, Ray-Ban, and Macy's, so you can be prepared with all the travel essentials and, of course, cute fits for your trip. Keep the rewards going with cash back on holiday gifts for friends and family. With Rakuten, you'll never miss out on savings at your favorite stores. The stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Join for free and start your shopping at Rakuten.com or use the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Waste their roster spot.
Yeah, waste their roster. I was just about to say that. I completely agree.
Like, there's no, like, if it's like one thing to be like not good, and there's one thing to be like, I have no basketball IQ. And like, when it's both, it's like you don't belong in the league.
Yeah, I mean, the basketball IQ thing, like, I want to touch on that again. Because the Nets aren't a young team. Like, they pretty much are a team full of veterans. I mean, obviously, Claxton's young. I mean, Cam Thomas is young, but he's not. He's kind of in and out of the rotation. We'll see him be put in for, like, a little spark every once in a while now that Kyrie's come back. But like Seth Curry, I mean, Joe Harris at this point is considered a veteran. Obviously, Kyrie, KD. I would consider Royce O'Neal a veteran.
KD Sanders, they're an older team.
Yeah, so like, I it's just they play dumb basketball. And it's not consistently because they'll play a stretch of like, wow, like Anthony said, like, wow, this team is, they're a championship contender. Like, they're rebounding, their ball movement, player movement, their shooting on offense is like incredible. They're locking teams up on defense, and then it's like they'll blow a 15-point lead in 4 minutes, and it's like, shit, now they look horrible. And it's lack of effort for the most part and just dumb basketball. The talent is not a question at all. Do we all agree on that? Like, this is a talented enough roster, especially with the guys coming back, to be considered a championship team?
100%. Like, it's I don't know what it is. Like, I saw a video the other day of like Kyrie waving off Shaquan's play because he wanted like a screen from Ben Simmons and like just stuff like that. It's not even like what we're talking about now, but it's just like listening to the coach and like just doing the right things and the X's and O's. Like they just consistently can't do that. Like
I do love how Jack Long immediately called the timeout, by the way.
Yeah, Steve Nash can never, but
Steve Nash, I don't even
remember. How many plays were like, what are you doing? Like there's like you said, there's moments where like the Nets ball movement looks impeccable. Like the ball's just hooping, quote unquote, but it doesn't make sense.
Hopping,
sorry. It's like this place where it's like, what is this? Like, there's no one moving. It's just like a terrible shot or it's whatever. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Steve Nash. Like, the Nets are 9-5 with Jack Vaughn as the head coach this year.
Or it's
that's a pretty good win percentage, like pace. That's a top four in the East pace.
Yeah, it's a solid turnaround for sure.
What were they under Nash? 2-and – try to do math.
2-11 or some shit.
He didn't last that long. 2-6 maybe? 2-7, somewhere around there.
Yeah, Jock Vaughn for coach of the year.
They were 2-6 because they're 11-11 right now. Come on, we could have done it. That's easy math. 9 + 2. Like, come on, we could have done that. What? Yeah, they were 2-6.
I'm taking the math 5-6 years.
Yeah, I mean, Jock Vaughn, like, he was – I think he's done a pretty good job, personally. Like, I think his timeouts have come quick, which is something Nash would have never done. If he doesn't like something that's happening, he quickly calls a timeout. Like, I like the timeout when Kyrie blatantly ignored his play, and, like, Jock was visibly pissed off. Like, you could tell. I don't really know if defensive scheme or offensive scheme has really changed all that much personally. Like, I still think I hate their defensive scheme of switch everything. That really hasn't changed. The offense, they were starting to run it through Ben a little bit more before he got injured. I don't really think that was a coaching thing. I just think Ben wasn't physically able to run an offense when he first came back. But all the other stuff, like the players are just bought into Jock Vaughn, I think.
Yeah, I'm on the same page as you.
Let's kind of – I don't want to go through all these games. I mean, the Magic game is fresh, obviously. I think it's pathetic that it took Kevin Durant to score 45 points on, like, 98% shooting. Not actually. He was 19 of 24, but insane shooting efficiency. I mean, what we watched Kevin Durant do last night was absolutely insane. I just want to say that, like,
that was quite
he was pulling up for like mid-range fadeaway jump shots. There was one on the right baseline in the second half, and it was over Bull, who's listed at I think like 7'2", and it was nothing but net. Like, he was 19 of 24 on jump shots, because very few of those buckets came in the paint. They were all mainly mid-range jump shots, which is just insane. He was blocking shots. I mean, he had 6 turnovers, which could be the only negative you could say about him. I think kind of as a whole this season, I feel like he's been turning the ball over more. But, I mean, Kevin Durant's been incredible, obviously.
You really can't ask for much more than him, other than, like, he did have, like, that one game where he dropped, like, 12 points. But other than that, he's only scored under 25 points one time, twice this year, and that's including the – that one 12-point game, and the other game he did score 20 points. So, like, he's just been consistent as consistent gets through, like, 20 games or so. He's scored 25 in, like, 18 of them. It's incredible.
By the way, Joe, that game – the game he scored 12 points, then that's one.
Yeah.
They beat the Raptors by 14. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah.
What did he did just that game? I didn't really watch that game.
That's something I've noticed too, as a betting man. Obviously, I have been watching Kevin Durant's points very closely on many nights of Nets playing basketball, and like when you get to the second half, it's just like KD, like he just like stops taking shots a lot of times midway through like the third quarter, and it's like there's no real reason for it, and it's not like and there's like a lot of possessions where Kevin Durant isn't even touching the ball. It's just puzzling.
You know what bothers me? He did like 2 or 3 times last few games. He gets the ball at like a second or two left and like a quarter or a half at like full court range, and he won't take the shot to like because it probably affects his field goal percentage. That triggers me just in general players, but he did it like twice, so just wanted to point that out.
Well, no, it triggered me because the game where he did not score, where he scored 20 points, he needed 25 points and I would have won like $900. And I thought that was my lock, dude. I was like, yeah, this happened every game. And that was the only thing that didn't hit. So yeah, that was quite brutal. But yeah, in that game, he had 20 points with 4 minutes left in the third quarter. He just didn't score for the rest of the game. I was kind of pissed off. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I just want to go through a couple other players. One thing that I've noticed, which I'm sure you guys have as well, is Patty Mills has been phased out of the rotation. The last two games,
thank God.
He was a DNP, which against the Blazers and the Magic. Against the Pacers, he only logged 5 minutes. Against the Raptors, which was the game before, he only logged 6 minutes. I mean, he played more in the Philly game. He played 13 minutes. But he's being phased out, which was kind of expected once Seth Curry was able to do more. I mean, even against the Grizzlies, he only played 6 minutes. So, like, Patty's pretty much getting phased out. And I honestly don't know when he's going to play again. Like, I mean, Joe Harris, I'll talk about him. He's been bad, especially in
Shanghai now.
Especially like shooting, like this is, I don't have his stats up in front of me, but like it's been ugly.
But it's bad. It is bad. Like there's been multiple nights where he's shooting like 1 for 7, 1 for 9, 2 for 12. Like it's brutal.
He actually, so he didn't shoot well from three against Orlando, but besides that, he was able to impact the game. Like he filled in for, Ben Simmons when he got hurt. I mean, Joe ended up having 17 points on 5 of 11 from the field. He was, once again, 2 of 8 from 3, so he's still struggling from 3. But he was getting to the foul line. I mean, it's just – I think it's mental. It's got to be mental, right? Joe Harris is not a bad shooter now.
Yeah, no. There's no way. It's absolutely a mental thing.
And, I mean, he's coming back from that ankle injury, and a lot of your shooting starts from your lower body and your legs.
Yeah, I believe it's like around this time last year, like that he hurt his ankle.
Yeah,
because like it was late November last year he hurt himself, I think.
Joe is shooting 31% from three so far this year. Last year in his short stay, I mean, he didn't shoot that great in the beginning of last season either. I remember he shot 46%. The year before that, he was at 47, 43, 47, 42. So like Joe Harris, I mean, I don't want to jinx it, but he's not going to shoot 31% from three all year. And it's not like he's getting bad looks. Like, they are wide freaking open with no one around him.
Yeah, and it's just like, I mean, it's got to turn around eventually, but it's like, how long are the Nets going to continue to be patient when he is our most tradable contract? Or, like, our biggest contract asset, I guess I would say, instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say like his salary is probably like, makes the most sense as a trade filler to get someone meaningful. Like other than Patty Mills, which I just don't think is like a positive asset for anybody, unless like maybe like the Lakers if they even had anything for us, just because they need shooting that bad. But like, if he doesn't start playing well, I would not be shocked to see his name floated around, because if it has already been, and like to be quite frankly honest, if he's shooting like that, Royce O'Neal is more valuable for this team.
100%.
Yep.
Royce has been shooting the ball well, actually. His defense has been a little suspect, mainly because he's been asked to guard like guards, and that's not really his strength. But he's been shooting the ball well.
Fun fact, Royce O'Neal is third in the NBA in minutes played.
Yeah, and Kevin Durant's first.
I got that just for myself.
I hate you. I mean, real quick to end up this Joe Harris discussion, I still think the Nets' most tradable package is Joe Harris, Cam Thomas, and that Philly first round pick.
Yep.
And I mean, I think a lot to do with if Joe Harris is moved is how TJ Warren looked when he comes back. If he's even 70% of bubble TJ Warren, like Joe Harris is expendable.
70% of bubble TJ Warren is the best player in the entire NBA.
I think that package, it was a couple guys I'd target, probably like Giannis Antetokounmpo, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic.
Nah, man.
Word on the street is Steph wants out of Golden State and he wants to play with his brother.
Yep.
According to my sources. And there will that's another lethal shooter like Joe Harris in return.
Yeah.
Well, give it take like that was a bad comparison, actually. I was gonna say something stupid.
Could it be any stupider than what I just said?
I was gonna say Draymond Green. Trying to think. Who would be a good package for that?
I don't know. I mean, the easy answer is just go back to fucking Miles Turner.
Enough. Enough. Miles Turner's banned from this podcast until he's a Brooklyn Net. That's the way I see it.
All right, fine. Aaron Gordon.
Oh my god, that's the one. Happy Denver. Give us Jeff Green and Bruce Brown back.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, are you talking for the Joe Harris package?
I was kidding. Yeah.
I mean hello. I still think like a Mo Bamba, if he's healthy.
Really the one that would make a lot of sense.
They
have a crowded front court over there in Orlando.
That's way too much for Mo Bamba, though.
Everyone says that, but I mean, Joe Harris has been playing like shit. He's coming back from a major ankle injury. So Joe Harris is, I would say he's a negative contract right now, truthfully.
Yeah.
I was going to say like DeAndre Ayton.
Just stop. No,
remember that like 2 week span when the Nets were the favorite for DeAndre Ayton's next team? That was pretty fun.
That was like KD was going to Phoenix.
Yep. That was
who was I'm pretty sure first off money wise, Harris, Thomas, and a first does not work for Bamba unless Orlando's severely under the cap.
Harris, Sharp, and a first for Bamba. It's fine.
That I would do.
We'll accept any trade to get De'Ron Sharp off the Nets. Kevin Durant for like a fifth or second round draft pick. Like, yeah, you can have him.
I'll keep.
As long as you take De'Ron.
It's TLC and DeAndre Jordan. Those and Javon. I hate Javon Carter, by the way. He dropped
Javon the other week.
Get the fuck out of here. Sorry. Got me sick.
Yeah, and then KD stole Javon Carter's line. You guys see
he imitated him. Why has Javon Carter been like a good NBA player on every team but the Nets?
Steve Nash coaching, I guess.
They could use his point of attack defense right now.
Yeah.
Well, how about John Collins?
Hey, remember when we were in the rumors about him too? That was fun.
John Collins would not be a horrible fit.
I don't love the John Collins, to be honest. I'd rather have
a true five. But
I'd also rather Bamba than John Collins, personally.
Yeah.
That's the ESPN trade machine.
Here we go.
You think John Collins and Ben... So, like, John Collins would be a longer-term thing, I believe. And I don't know if he's a good pairing next to Ben Simmons, which...
That's a good point.
I mean, I don't know if
Ben... That's the reason why Collins is on the block, because they don't... It's the old DeJounte Murray fit in Atlanta.
Correct.
Like,
and like,
especially next to Capella as well. So, it's like...
I can't have Mo Bamba because he just signed. That's annoying.
They'd have to wait. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the thing with John Collins, like Ben Simmons, I mean, he's definitely looked a lot better. I wouldn't say he's fully back to what he was, but he's 75-80% of the way there. He still doesn't look as explosive. But, like, I don't know if he's the future of the Nets. Like, who the hell knows what the future of the Nets is? I don't even know what they'll look like tomorrow. But he's got to be in consideration of the future of the Nets. Like, Kevin Durant and Kyrie, I don't think they're really considered the future of the Nets.
Joe Harris and Cam Thomas for John Collins works in the NBA trade machine. The Brooklyn Nets would gain 3 wins, according to John Hollander.
They'll bring it over 500.
Yeah, the Nets
true. Would be
14-11.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it. I just don't know about the fit personally. And he's undersized. So what's he going to be? He's going to be the five.
Yeah. Personally, I think Cam Thomas from Obama is fair.
We would probably have to be Cam Thomas in a first, but the salary I don't think would match because he just signed. That's why Joe Harris would have to be in there.
I think Bamba's only on like an $8 million contract or something, or $10 million off the top of my head. So maybe a Patty Mills? And a Cam Thomas?
I doubt they would take Patty, honestly.
You'd have to throw in a pick.
And honestly, no matter how much Patty's gonna play, I don't know if Sean Marks has the balls to trade Patty Mills.
He doesn't.
He really should. I highly doubt he does.
Well, then Sean Marks can talk to me.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Sean Marks has kidnapped. We have our prime suspect.
Speaking of Patty Mills, this makes me think of Bruce Brown. Did you guys see what Bruce Brown said the other day?
Well, yeah.
I think it was yesterday. He was like, I have it up on my phone. So from Mike Singer of the Denver Post, this is how the interview went. Bruce Brown said, "I'm doing things people said I couldn't do." Mike Singer said, "Like what?" Bruce Brown said, "Be a guard." He was then asked, "Are you talking to Brooklyn?" And Bruce Brown responded, "I'm talking to everyone who thought I couldn't play as a guard. That's to a lot of GMs in the NBA."
So that's directly impacting his contract negotiation, like the target his contract offers.
You really should get the money. But
yeah, but I'm saying, like, I think the whole thing is, like, for some reason people thought Gary Payton II could play as a guard, but Bruce Brown couldn't. But they're, like, literally, like, the same player, just, like, copy and paste of each other. Really weird.
Bruce Brown is one of my favorite role players of all time.
Yeah. I think he might be – I mean Jeff Green and Bruce Brown probably are the two for me. Those are
– Yuta's up there now, too, though.
Yeah, Yuta's climbing the rankings, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's really nice.
And we will soon be welcoming TJ Warren to that club.
I feel like he's not like a fan favorite guy. I feel like he's just gonna be like a softball player. Or he'll just never play again and get hurt again.
Damn it, Anthony. You had to go there. I'm
saying that.
Is that okay? What's more likely? I'm just saying. Let's temper expectations, is what I'm saying.
We go all in on our expectations here.
Yeah, I expect him to score 30 points Friday night. It'll be the bubble again.
The Nets will not. Nets will keep his bird rights. He'll be the Nets Finals MVP.
Yes,
exactly.
I like this better. let's real quick before we wrap up preview the Wizards game tomorrow. So on the injury report, the Wizards have Rui Hachimura is ruled out. The Nets will be without TJ Warren, Ben Simmons, Yuta Watanabe, Alondis Williams, and David Duke Jr. is day-to-day. First question for you guys. With no Ben Simmons, is Joe Harris the starter?
So is Roy Jackson, Katie Carey the other four?
Is Yuta back? Yuta's back, right?
No,
Yuta is out. Yuta, Ben Simmons, TJ Warren are all out.
Royce, Claxton, Katie, Kyrie.
Yep, Steph. And then who's the fifth?
Steph.
Probably Joe.
I think it's going to be Joe. I think they're going to keep Seth coming off the bench.
You can't really play Seth with Kyrie at the same time.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I don't like when they play together. I think closing the game is fine. But I don't know. It's a tough pairing because they're both very undersized.
To be honest, the roster construction is kind of gross because, like, we talk about the same thing with like Simmons and Claxton, and it's like you really shouldn't have this many like clunks in your rotation where like guys can't play with one another. Like one combo is fine, but we have like three different combos. I feel like where it's like can't do that, can't do that, and then you have like three of your like versatile guys out. It just really impacts rotations.
Yeah, I mean. I think TJ Warren being back, if he can stay healthy, being a bigger body, he's what? He's like 6'8", 6'9", I think is what he's listed at.
I think he's like 6'9", yeah.
I think he's 6'8", or 6'9".
Yeah, so I don't know. And I kind of agree with what Joe was saying. I think that Ben and Claxton were definitely better recently together.
You can do it in short stints. It's just like...
Yeah.
Like you just need to like diversify it. Like it'd just be so much more effective if you just split up their minutes more. And I don't want to beat that horse, but you know what I mean.
I think at one point there was a lineup where it was Seth, Joe, KD, Ben, and Clax with KD. I mean, Ben was the main ball handler and like he was being really aggressive in that stint because like everything was wide the hell open. And like, I mean, and obviously Claxton's still in like that mid-range, low post area, but like Ben was being aggressive because the other three defenders are all the way out. And like, then you have to pay more attention to Ben as well when he's being aggressive where he has been before these previous two games where, what was it? Not the game where he got hurt, the game before. I forget who it was against.
I like it when like we're going against big teams.
Yes. And like he, but like Ben took three shots in the first 5 minutes and then didn't take another one for the rest of the game. And then like, it was just like, what the hell happened? He was good for like six games or so. And then he gets hurt early in the following game. So
like we have Milwaukee and they have like Giannis, Brooke Lopez, Bobby Portis, Middleton. I like throwing Claxton, Ben Simmons, KD, like that kind of size at them because it might work.
Yeah, and Royce.
Right. Royce, Yuta, we'll have Warren. I mean, I don't think the roster construction is terrible personally. They need a stretch big is what I'll say.
That's the it's just that and then maybe scared of Patty Mills.
I think that's wishful thinking. Next question I have for you guys. So obviously Ben Simmons is not playing. He's kind of served as the backup big when Claxton takes a break. Do you think the Nets are going to play super small with maybe like KD playing the five at some points next to like Royce? Do you think we're going to see Dejron? Do you think we're going to see Markieff? Do you think we're going to see a little of all of it? You have no idea.
I think Markieff is a more likely option than Dejron. And I feel like KD can play the five at points in this game because I don't think you're really too worried about Kristaps Porzingis really like demolishing Kevin Durant like down low.
Right. That was my thinking as well.
So like, I think this is a game where you definitely can put because I mean their two biggest guys are gonna be Porzingis and Kuzma, right? And that's a matchup that's perfectly fine for KD and Royce to take. So I think they'll be fine if they do it like that. And then you throw in some Markieff minutes and you'll be perfectly fine.
I agree.
Yeah. Guard rotation. So, I mean, there's still some minutes to fill. Do we think we're going to see more of Cam Thomas, more of Edmund Sumner? Maybe we'll get some Patty Mills minutes?
No, cut Patty Mills minutes. Cut Edmund Sumner's minutes. Give me Cam Thomas. Give me Seth Curry. Give me Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, because I mean, last game the Nets ran a nine-man rotation, and I mean, Sumner was part of that rotation. He only played 7 minutes.
Yeah, they
cut Ben's out early. If Ben's out of that, that's only an 8-man rotation, pretty much a 7. Because I mean, Cam Thomas only played 10 minutes himself, so it's a short rotation. I mean, it's gonna have to get expanded somehow.
Yeah,
I think it's a little bit of all three, but like I think Cam leads the way, and then like a little bit of Sumner, maybe Mills for like 8 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of stopped keeping track of our picks just because we've been busy. But yeah. Are the Nets winning tomorrow, guys?
I haven't been here in forever. That's why
Nets will win tomorrow.
Joe,
Nets are gonna lose tomorrow.
Jeez. The game's at home. I'm going with the Nets win as well. I agree with Anthony, but
undefeated homestand.
True. Anything else you guys want to mention real quick?
Oh, wait. We got to mention the whammy stat. Did you guys see this?
I did not.
Shout out Mr. Whammy. The Brooklyn Nets at home have the lowest opponent free throw percentage in the NBA.
That's crazy. I did not see that.
70.3%, Philadelphia is second with 73.8%, and then Denver is 74.8%. But road teams coming to Brooklyn, Mr. Whammy is forcing misses. Give credit to Mr. Whammy. Round of applause to you, my friend. We love Whammy around here. Absolute legend.
Whammy is a legend. All right. I think that's a perfect spot to end with the Nets legend, with Mr. Whammy. So thank you guys for listening to the Sports Ethos Nets podcast with Anthony, Joe, and Cody. The Nets play at home again tomorrow against the Washington Wizards.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.